It's time for Cadillac On Call on News Radio 610 KONA. It's your chance to learn valuable health information right here in our community. Now, the host of Cadillac On Call, here's Jim Hall.
Good Wednesday evening. It's almost summertime here in the Tri-Cities. My name is Jim Hall. And each Wednesday at this time, we are here for a program we call Cadillac On Call. And we're here to talk about a specific health or medical topic. And tonight, it's a combination of both health and medicine. Our focus this evening is on the incredibly serious problem in our country and our community of addiction. It goes by the acronyms SUD, which stands for Substance Use Disorder. And plainly stated, that's addiction. And it can be found in many forms: cocaine, heroin, alcohol, opioids, meth, you name it. Tonight, we're devoting our program to this topic with members of a group in the Tri-Cities called the Benton Franklin Recovery Coalition. It's a newly formed group of volunteers who have pulled together, in quick fashion, I might add, a wide array of interested parties to tackle this epidemic of addiction and finding effective help for people suffering from these diseases. And with us are founding members of this group, who include people directly impacted by addiction, either personally or by that of a loved one. And we have folks who are experts in the field. We have law enforcement involved as well, because certainly, as we will learn tonight, a great deal of the problem exists in our corrections areas here in the Tri-Cities area. So with that, an important topic to talk about and really shine the light on here in our community, because it's a, as we touched on at the top, a very serious program. And I'm going to start. We have five people. Largest, we've packed a whole studio audience here, but they're not only the studio audience, they're the participants. But we'll introduce them as we begin to speak with them. But I first want to welcome Michelle Gerber. And she is the, I guess, coordinator, founder, brainchild, impetus behind the every title that you want to describe. Really the, I guess, the energy behind this Benton Franklin Recovery Coalition. Michelle is here. And we're also going to begin with Jason Bliss. And Jason is with an organization called Oxford House, which provides help for people in addiction treatment. And he himself has been recovery, or he's in recovery, and he was telling me before we went on the air, for 9 years. And so certainly people directly impacted. And I want to start with you, Michelle, really with just a basic question of what led you to want to get to where we are tonight?
Well, thank you, Jim. I got involved because two of my children developed substance use disorder. And there really were not good information, good facilities. I was flying blind in terms of trying to help them. And I went through this process for a long time. My son actually died of his addiction in 2014. And my daughter is in a successful recovery, which is a great blessing. But I looked around and said, we are underserved in the Tri-Cities. Here we are, this great area, large area, well-educated, prosperous, and we don't have the facilities that even much smaller towns have in the state of Washington. And so I called together some friends, and we decided to talk on my back porch, and then we decided that each of us would invite two more people, and we grew exponentially. So 1 year ago this week, we started this group.
Oh, congratulations. So it's an anniversary celebration of sorts tonight. And Jason Bliss, you're with Oxford House, and maybe just give our audience, first of all, your direct personal connection to why you're here tonight.
Sure. My name is Jason Bliss, and I'm a man in long-term recovery. What that means to me is I haven't had the need to have a drink or a drug since Valentine's Day 9 years ago. My journey to where I am today was a very topsy-turvy road, to say the least. I struggled with addiction for a great many years. I started some schooling over on the East Coast at New York State. Picked up a habit while I was over there to cocaine. I came back over here to Oregon, and that cocaine habit manifested itself into a methamphetamine habit that I battled and fought with for a great many years. Lost a great deal of things to my addiction, including family, children for quite some period of time, wives, homes, cars, just many, many things over the years were lost. I finally decided one day that enough was enough, and I wanted to turn my life around. I was desolate, really had nowhere to go, so I started doing some research, and I found of this place called Oxford House. I really didn't know a whole heck of a lot about Oxford House, so I made some phone calls, and I talked to a gentleman over the phone, and they graciously accepted me over the phone, and I moved into that house. I was there for roughly a year and a half, and went through a couple different treatment programs, got a little bit of sobriety under my belt, figured out how to live life on life's terms, or at least started to. And I moved out of that Oxford House. After I did that, I continued to volunteer on a volunteer basis for a couple years, giving back. And after a couple years, I was offered a job as an outreach worker for the Benton, Franklin, Walla Walla, and Yakima areas. I did that for approximately 6 years as an outreach worker. And today I'm blessed with the position of a regional state coordinator. We just recently opened our 300th home here in Washington State. We have a little over 2,500 beds in Washington State alone. Just recently opened up a new territory in the state of Montana. We have a home there. And I work with assisting three houses up in Anchorage, Alaska as well. Here in our local community, we have a total of 28 homes with 232 beds. These homes are for men, women with children, and men with children. With the current opioid epidemic and the drug and alcohol crisis that's currently facing our community, I've quickly found that all of our beds are full. Very rarely do we even have one, maybe two openings. I have two more houses slated to open here in the Tri-Cities. Both of them will be out in Richland, one for women and one for men, which will bring an additional 18 beds to our community.
So there are nearly 30 homes,
yes,
in this immediate area right now, able to provide resources for men and women and families.
Absolutely.
Wow, I had no idea. And Michelle, as you sit and listen to this, and obviously there's so many components and facets to this whole issue, but with what Jason just described, you know, there's so much need. Is the goal just to try and make incremental, slow? It'll probably be not fast enough, but start making inroads, and then ultimately, you know, just pick things off as you can.
Well, our ultimate goal is a full-fledged recovery center in the Tri-Cities. And we're talking a fairly big center that would have facilities for intake, outpatient, inpatient, two types of detox, which our other panelists can talk about, the two types of detox, and then possibly some transitional housing on the back end. So we're looking at something that will really serve the people. Because here in the Tri-Cities, if you want to go to detox or inpatient treatment, you have to leave the area. And it's not just inconvenient. There's a lot of dollars involved, and they're all leaving the Tri-Cities, too, and going to facilities elsewhere.
So someone who would require inpatient treatment, obviously, just like if they needed a heart procedure that was not available in the Tri-Cities, they'd have to leave. But the same goes for this medical treatment.
Yes, and addiction is a real disease. One of the foundational principles of our coalition is that addiction is a disease, not a disgrace. We totally reject the old-fashioned notion that it's a character flaw or moral weakness. It is a physical disease, and that can be proved scientifically.
Before we go to our first break, Jason, I go back to your personal story, if you will.
Yes.
You said you've been clean, so to speak, if that's the right term, in recovery for 9+ years. Did you... Getting to that point before you had that 9 year, did you relapse, so to ever, or were you able? Because you said once I made that decision, I did it. I'm guessing that probably doesn't happen all the time.
Well, it doesn't, and everybody's story and path to recovery is a unique one. There's never a straight or or there's never a straight road that anyone goes down when they're on the path to recovery. Very, very few people. Though there are a few that make it their first go around. I was not one of those people that made it my first go around. My folks sent me to two or three different treatment centers. After my first treatment center, one kind of gets the tools. It's a psychological decision that you have to make up in your own mind that you're truly done and you want to apply the tools and the things that have been provided for you. I had some time to reflect and over everything that I've lost and frankly what a waste my life had been for so many years. I had the tools. I had a great growing up, a great family. I had family support, people that loved me, people that care about me, and I had the tools. And it just got to the point in my life where I had to put all of that stuff. I had to put all of that stuff together. Wow. And after I put that stuff together and started to realize the impact that an individual can make, I've made it my life mission ever since. There was somebody there for me when I needed the help most. So that's what I strive to do day in and day out. My phone doesn't stop ringing during the day, during the night. If somebody's there and somebody needs help, that's what I'm making my mission to do.
Well, good for you. The Benton Franklin Recovery Coalition is the topic of our conversation, dealing with the incredible disease of addiction. And we have to take our first break, but lots more ground to cover, and we'll do that in a moment.